Well, hey there, Jonathan Doyle with you once again for the weekly podcast. Very cool to have you listening, and I hope wherever you are in the world, you're having a good week, and you maybe had a chance to put some of these ideas into practice. I wanted to share with you that there's been some amazing feedback this week. It's been really cool to get emails from people, because I've said before, you're in the studio, you're speaking into a microphone, and then you're putting this stuff out there on the interwebs, and you're just hoping that people are accessing it. And you know they are, and we got some stats on that, but when you realize that real people are actually taking your ideas and using them, and I might try and stick some of that feedback under the podcast here. If you're hearing this on iTunes, just come back across to jonathandoyle.co.co and have a look in the podcast section, and I'll try and put some of the feedback in there, because it's really cool. It's the coolest thing to realize that, you know, that my life journey and the things that I've been privileged to learn are helping other people. And I just want to reflect that to you, wherever you are in life, that, you know, are you using your story and the things that you've learned to help and serve other people? Because it's really cool, you know, like when you die, you don't get to take anything with you, right? But what you leave behind is the kind of impact you've had, for better or worse, in people's lives. So thank you to the people that have sent emails this week. I know that the people that have sent them are probably listening, and you know who you are. So a very genuine thanks. And this week I've got something, again, really practical. And that's kind of my goal, is so much of the motivational space and the podcast motivational space can end up being, you know, what we call rah-rah, which is just, you know, see it and it will happen. And if you visualize it, it will come into your life. I mean, seriously, on Instagram last week, somebody, you know, put one of those things on Instagram, like, you know, whatever you see, you can achieve. And I know I'm about, what, 5'8". And I said, you know, I'd like to be 6'2". And I would put in the comments box, you know, I'd like to be 6'2". If I see that enough, can I be 6'2"? And the guy has seriously kind of commented back going, well, you know, maybe you have to really learn to love where you are right now. Or maybe you know, you could have a personality that's 6'2". And I'm going, dude, you can't be 6'2", okay? You can't. There's a whole bunch of stuff in life you can't do. So, but there's a lot of stuff we can, but I don't want to get into the motivation stuff where I just say to you, like, you know, just see it and visualize and everything's going to happen, because it's much more complex than that. And I think we need a bit more grown-up kind of stuff sometimes, in this space anyway, where we use practical stuff. We use stuff that really works, and this week I want to give you one that works. Why? Because as I often try to do, I've actually done this one very recently. And as I begin talking about it, I want to give a shout out to Dr. Bill Tierfelder, who I read his book recently, Less Than 1 Minute to Go, and I'll put a link to it again. I want to really honor him and his work. But he brought up a point in the book that was a golf analogy. It was about focus, and I took it out of the golf course and used it, and I found it really helpful. But then golf being the game it is, it's really helpful on a Monday, and then you try exactly the same thing on a Tuesday and it doesn't work. But his idea, I think, in general holds really well. And it's around focus, and I want to speak about that today. And I hope you'll forgive me again, because I understand that I have, you know, passions and interests in certain things, and you do too. And if somebody gets really excited about their thing and you're not into it, it can be really boring. So I'm going to touch on it briefly, which is simply, as you know, I do a huge amount of road cycling. And if you're a driver who hates cyclists, well, I just want to say that I'm one of those good cyclists. I stay right over. I ride in bunches, and we all do the right stuff, and we try to do the right thing. So please, let go of your assumptions on that. So I do a lot of cycling, and I took Dr. Bill Tierfelder's concept of focus to another level. And it's simply this. I ride at a pretty high level, and a lot of the time it's tough. You know, you're riding, like, I just turned 40, and there's guys in there riding at national, international level who are kind of, you know, in their late teens, very early 20s. And so my job is kind of hang in there with these guys, and I'm giving them 20 years. And a lot of the time, you know, it's just pain. And there's a particular ride we do on Saturday mornings, where you come down a fantastic downhill, and then what happens is this very long hill climb, and it goes for a long time, and it's painful. And now the ride goes for about 2.5 hours, and this hill comes in about the first 30, 40 minutes. But the cool thing is that once you do it, you know that the rest of the ride isn't going to be as hard as this. Now, when I first started getting back into riding, you know, you have this feeling where you're riding and the wheel in front, the person in front of you just starts to pull away, and you're giving it everything and you can't close that gap. And it's terrible. And what I learned was that what I was doing for most of the time, and I'm going to really make this practical, is I was focusing on the top of the hill. I was really focusing on, you know, when will this be over? When am I going to get to the end of this horrendous climb? And my psychology and my cognitive talk begins to reflect this question. You know, when will this be over? This is terrible. This is... And now, I want to introduce a paradox here, right? Because a lot of times what we do want is to focus in life on the big picture. We want this idea of, well, where do we want to be in X number of years? But I think what I'm learning is we've got to hold that loosely, because now let's be honest. I mean, you can write goals for 5 or 10 years, but so many things change that often you'll get in the general direction and you'll even exceed where you wanted to be. But we don't always get exactly, you know, exactly what we sort of think we're going to get. So there's the focus question, right? My focus is on the end of this hill and, you know, am I going to make it? So that's the kind of cognitive talk. And I really want to say to you, the older I get, the more I do this stuff, the more I write and read and think and learn about this stuff, cognitive talk is so powerful. And I spent probably 25, 30, 35 years of my life having no control over this kind of cognitive talk and just assuming that however I was thinking was just how things are. And I learned very recently that you can control this. So there's the picture for you, me on the bike, terrible cognitive talk, when's this going to be over? And then a few weeks ago, I took Bill Tierfelder's idea of focus and I began to apply it to this particular situation, which was what? All I did was begin to block out this concept of the hill and that hill and the top of that hill and when will I get to that hill? And I began to focus on one thing, which was simply the wheel in front. But not just the wheel in front, very particular parts of it. So I'd pick like a wheel nut or a quick release lever on the back wheel of the bike in front of me, and I would bore down into that. Now, sometimes I'd stare at the seat pouch or the light on the back of the bike in front, but I would drill down. And this is where Tierfelder stuff was good, because he'd say, don't just look at it, look for scratches, look for tiny little marks, indentations, just drill down. And all I did was block out everything else and really focus on that one tiny thing in front of me. Was I still in pain? Yes. Was it still a tough ride? Yes. But all of a sudden, I wasn't thinking about, I wonder if, or when will this be over? Or when's this going to happen? Or when will I get to there? Or wonder if I can hold on? It was just, don't worry about it. This wheel in front, drill down, drill down, drill down. So now I want to take that concept. Well, before I give you the hook, what I want to suggest is it worked. I found even in the last few weeks that my capacity to hold on in a difficult circumstance in a training environment just went through the roof. So I'm standing in the studio this morning. I rode this morning with an elite bunch of guys and I held on longer than ever. I got a great guy, Dale. Dale, if you're listening, shout out to you, who's a really strong rider. Dale sat in front of me and I just sat on his wheel, and I've never, you know, stayed in this race this morning as long as I have. And I know this principle works. So I really want to just share with you how amazed I've been in seeing the outcomes of this kind of focus. So what I'm going to do is just bring to you like the extrapolation now. We're going to take the concept of this relentless focus to your life, which is simply, so I reckon there's got to be an area in your life right now, and we'll talk about, say, work or relationships, where you're probably not using focus to serve you. Now, I had a few thoughts about this. Let's say you're in a dating relationship or a marriage and it's not going too well. We all have these seasons of difficulty, and I really want to encourage you, especially in marriage, that we've got to work through those things and stick together and really work through difficulty. But, you know, a lot of the times when a relationship's bad, we start using negative cognitive talk. This is terrible. We're never going to work this out. I've married the wrong person, or this is the wrong person. And if you're dating, yeah, possibly that could be true. But, you know, in general, we start to use negative cognitive talk. And the next thing we do is we focus on this mystical distance someday when things might be better. You know, I wonder when things are going to be different. I wonder when. And our focus drifts out into the future. Now, think about the situation of being in a difficult relationship or marriage. You don't have 10 years in your hand right now in the future. You don't. You're not there. Where you are is today. And all you can actually focus on is the next block of 5, 10, or 12 hours that you're going to be awake in front of you, okay? So you want to start to drill the focus down and go, you know what, I don't have to solve the big picture. But if I can just work on the relationship today, drill down on the details of the relationship today. Do I need to buy them flowers? Do I need to ring them? Should I apologize for something? Should I call a babysitter so we can have some special time together? You can only control today. You can only control this next block of a few minutes where you can take action on something. Okay, if you're not married or that's not relevant for you, let's say it's a work situation. You know, where I'm recording this now, we're about to, it's budget eve, right? They're going to release a new budget and everybody's freaking out because the government's going to clamp down a bunch of stuff and everybody's like, oh my gosh, it's the end of the world, I'm going to lose my house. And you know what? You haven't lost your house yet. You haven't. I mean, it could happen. I hope it doesn't, but it could. But that's at some point in the future. What you can do is drill down and focus on your work environment today. And do the best you can in your work environment today. Refine your skills today. You know, get that promotion or begin writing goals about that promotion today. There's so much you can control, but you can't control 10 years from now or 3 weeks from now. You can build towards it, but the magic is going to happen in the actual moment, in the moment of focus now. Hard to live because, you know, it's a paradox here because I'm not saying, well, we just forget about planning the future. I'm suggesting that probably when we're not performing in our optimal space, we're probably focusing negatively on aspects of the future and we're surrendering our power in the present. So let's begin to wrap it up. This is simple. It's practical, yeah? It's like, what can you do today? What can you really focus on today that will move you progressively towards the outcomes that you want at some distant point? So I guess it's kind of like saying live in the moment because the moment's all you have. You don't have the past. Now, the past has had its impacts upon you, but it's gone and you can't go back to it or do anything to change it. It's happened and the future hasn't arrived yet. You can build towards it, but what you have is focus. So again, when I'm writing, I don't have the end of the ride to control because I haven't got to the end of the ride yet. All I have is the milliseconds in front of me rolling out one by one as I drill down into focus and just lock in on the attitude and the behavior and the focal point, the wheel in front, that's going to drag me to a higher level of performance. So I hope that's not too abstract for you. I hope you can realize that wherever you are today, whatever's in front of you, whatever, you know, if you're studying or it's a relationship or work or health, just get the focus thing working in your favor. Drill down and just, it's a simple idea. Grab some post-it notes, write down, you know, just the word focus and just put it in places where you're going to see it. Focus. Just keep continually focusing on the things that are right in front of you and bringing the very best of you to them. So I hope that's useful. If you haven't got a copy of my book yet, you got to get one. Just come back to the website, find the books tab, and grab a copy of Bridging the Gap. The feedback on the book has been awesome. And, you know, I got an email this morning from London, a lady who I was over there recently speaking. She grabbed a copy and she just emailed me and just said, this is an amazing book. And I'm honestly not saying that to make a sale because they're not expensive. And, you know, anybody who's ever written books, the money isn't in the books. But the ideas are powerful and I just want you to have them. So grab yourself a copy of Bridging the Gap off my website at www.jonathandoyle.co.co. I'd love you to grab a copy. If you're running a conference or you'd like me to work with your business or your team, your organization, flip me an email. I'd love to come and do some of this stuff and just really encourage and help people put some practical steps in action for increased performance. Please share this podcast with people. If you're a social media user, grab the link, put it on your social feeds, tell people, hey, come and have a listen to this. It's really good stuff. So I hope it's useful. I'm Jonathan Doyle. Let me know what you thought of it. Send me an email, hit me up on social, and I'll be speaking with you again very soon.